Next tonight, feeding the hunger and stoking the appetite for reading in African schools and libraries. Fred DeSam-Lazaro has this report. It is the latest in his series, Agents for Change.
So pretty much what we do is we get a bunch of donated books from schools, libraries, people in the homes that love to hoard books like myself.
It's a typical Saturday morning, and Selena Hamer is training in a new shift of volunteers on how to choose which materials are suitable to send overseas.
About 6 million books are delivered to this football field-sized warehouse in Atlanta every year. Dozens of volunteers come in to sort through the piles, and eventually some 3 to 4 million make it out of here, destined for libraries and schools across Africa.
The organization is aptly called Books for Africa, and over the past 30 years it has sent some 41 million books donated by schools, libraries, and textbook companies to 53 different countries. It all began when a Minnesota bookseller named Tom Worth, on vacation in Africa, happened to visit a library, says the group's executive director, Pat Plonsky.
Library that had no books in it, had a building, it had card catalogs, had a librarian, and had virtually no books. So he came back home to Minnesota, met with some of his book partners, they got together, sent a few books, and again, that was 41 million books ago.
Today, African schools and libraries send Books for Africa a wish list. They agree to pay for the shipping on ocean-going ships in bulk containers to minimize costs. We visited the White Dove School in Rwanda, a private school for economically disadvantaged girls, which received a crate of books for its library 3 years ago. Students here said the variety of books have made them enthusiastic readers.
I wasn't truly interested in reading, but when I came here at White Dove, I got to know to love books and read them.
Reading has developed my vocabulary, because before I started reading, I was not really good at speaking English.
Of course, not all books that are donated are culturally appropriate to send to Africa.
No self-help, no travel guides, no American history, no Santa, Easter Bunny, or Halloween.
Warehouse manager Jeremy Bostwick says the organization has learned to become more selective over the years.
They may ask us to remove anything that has anything to do with magic. Also, we've been asked on a couple of occasions not to include any computer books that say for dummies, because there's something lost in translation sometimes there.
So what is popular?
We probably proliferated Daniel Steele to almost every corner of the African continent.
The fact that the books are so American appealed to some of the young Rwandans we interviewed.
The more you get to read the books of America, you get to discover what really America is. You get to know the culture, the history of America.
Others wish there were more books about Africa rather than the predominantly American narratives they read.
A girl in an American high school going in a university in America, while those African books, it talks about situation that happens in Africa, which you relate more.
You'd like to see more of them?
Yes.
We are seeking to provide more books in local languages and more IT books. And again, I think local language books are best provided locally, but we at Books for Africa exist because the ideal does not exist.
In the meantime, Books for Africa has begun experimenting with sending donated e-readers and digital books to Africa. Eventually, that technology could exponentially increase the number of publications sent overseas. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Fred DeSam-Lazaro in Atlanta, Georgia.
Fred's reporting is a partnership with the Undertold Stories Project at the University of St. Thomas in Minnesota.